If you're a Law & Order addict like I am, you're familiar with the scene. The detectives have a suspect in the interrogation room who, after answering questions, says, look, if you had any proof, you'd arrest me. Since you aren't, I'm out of here. That's the reality of the storyline, at least so far, when it comes to President Trump, Russia, and theories about any connections. Trump critics are trying to make the story into practically articles for impeachment. My next guest wrote in the National Review recently about the narrative of the story, its levels of interest, and whether there's any fire in the forest. Here to discuss the reality versus the imagined, or maybe for some hoped for, between Trump and Russia is National Review columnist, National Review Institute Thomas L. Rhodes Fellow Ian Tuttle. Thanks for being here today, Ian.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, it's nationalreview.com to read Ian's article, which is entitled, What Exactly is Scandalous About Trump's Russia Scandal, dated April 4th of 2017. And, you know, at least superficially, are the Democrats sort of like the hopeful kid that's digging through a pile of horse manure saying, I know there's got to be a pony in here somewhere?
Well, you know, obviously there are reasons to be thoughtful about this whole situation. I mean, you know, you look at the Trump network of people, and you have some dubious characters, Paul Manafort and Roger Stone and Carter Page and some others. So, you know, there are reasons to be thinking seriously about the accusations that are being leveled. On the other hand, it's never quite clear what the accusations are. Is it that these people just had, inappropriate relationships with, you know, folks from Russia or even intermediaries between the U.S. and Russia? Or, you know, are they collaborators with Kremlin intelligence? I mean, none of these accusations are ever quite nailed down, and so it creates this haze of suspicion around the White House and around the transition team a couple months ago. I think it's reasonable to want to ask questions and investigate and let the investigation, you know, reveal whatever is there to be revealed. But it seems silly to me to suggest, as many people do, that it's just self-evident, obvious, that the Trump team did something horrible and traitorous and that this demands an immediate Senate trial.
Well, that's, I guess, the consequence of the Democratic narrative, because I forget the source of the poll, but there was, in the early days of all this fallout after the election and the Trump-Russia accusations, I think it was almost 50% of Democrats believed that Russia hacked the voting machines.
That's right. Just over a majority thought that was the case. And, you know, it's a narrative that continues to endure. Adam Schiff, the ranking member, a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, said, I think, 2 weeks ago on one of the Sunday morning shows that Russia had, quote, hacked the election. And that's just a charge for which there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. So the deep irresponsibility of the representation of the facts around this situation should be troubling.
Do we know for a fact that it was Russia's hacking that supplied WikiLeaks with the Podesta DNC emails? Because WikiLeaks and anyone connected with them said it wasn't Russia.
Well, I mean, WikiLeaks is pretty well known to be operating under the Russian umbrella. Now, it's not clear, you know, whose office is, you know, in direct, has the direct phone line to whoever else's office. But WikiLeaks is pretty well known to be to do the bidding of the Russian intelligence services. That said, you know, the actual details are probably being kept fairly close to the vest by the intelligence community at this point.
But that's another case too, where it's the how the emails were leaked versus what was leaked in, what was contained in the emails, which was, by all intents and purposes and by all general belief, facts about how Podesta, the DNC, were standing on Bernie Sanders' throats, the way that Hillary felt about certain people, some of the inner workings of the Hillary campaign. Which, I mean, would have been any different if, name your spectrum, if either a George Will or a National Enquirer got a hold of these emails and published them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, it's worrisome if you have a foreign intelligence service, even through intermediary participating or insinuating itself into the election versus the National Enquirer or George Will. That's a very different situation, and it calls for, I think, a much more serious response because of what's at stake in that. Cyber espionage and the rest, but the content of the emails, you're right, was ended up being valuable information and accurate information, at least as far as anyone has been able to ascertain.
Talking with Ian Tuttle from National Review about his article dated April 4th, what exactly is a scandal? It's about Trump's Russia scandal, which you can read at nationalreview.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned in your article, too, a moment ago, too, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Carter Page. Roger Stone's maybe can be compared to Roger Stone to Donald Trump is sort of like Sidney Blumenthal to Hillary Clinton, sort of that dark, loose cannon in the background. And Carter Page was attempted to be recruited as a quote-unquote asset by Russian intelligence. But how much of an albatross will the actions of Michael Flynn become in all this? As we learn more, I mean, the last we heard, now he's looking for immunity before he starts talking.
Yeah, this is very interesting, and it's not clear exactly what the story is that Michael Flynn has to tell. And it also seems like the people to whom he's tried to pitch the story are not that interested. So it's not clear, if he has real details to divulge or not. I think that the reasons that Flynn was ousted from the White House were largely because he misled the vice president, not because he did anything illegal in speaking to the Russian ambassador. That said, Flynn is the only one of the major figures in this story who lasted through the transition to Inauguration Day. I mean, it's worth remembering that as dubious as Manafort, Stone, Page were, and I think that there's valid grounds for the investigation of those individuals to continue, they were all out of Trump world, more or less, well before Election Day. Flynn was the only one who wasn't. So there is a disjunction, between those two groups of people. It'll be interesting to see if there's more to unfold from Flynn, or if we pretty much know everything at this point.
Timing being what it was, you couldn't obviously address something in this article since it was April 4th. But how much will Trump's actions against Syria disassemble the Democratic narrative about some sort of bonding or bromance between Trump and Putin?
Well, I think we can, we still have to maintain that Russia clearly had a preference in the election, and it seemed to, want to insinuate itself on Trump's behalf. And of course, that Trump was very friendly, overly friendly to the Russian regime during the campaign and afterward. But going forward, this certainly suggests that the grand detente between Washington and Moscow that I think some in Trump world had been dreaming of has come up against the hard facts of reality, which is that Russia is not only doing a whole lot of sketchy operations, military and otherwise, all over the world, but also chosen to support the Assad regime, and so either endorsed or stepped aside while the Assad regime committed the gas attack in the Idlib province in Syria a couple days ago. And, if the Trump administration is actually going to be serious in dealing with the Syria question, it's going to have to take a much harder line against Russia going forward.
Ian also writes about how the Trump administration has to, and to a degree, look at itself for being the cause of what they're having to deal, whether it's an annoyance, whether it's an investigation, or somewhere in between. Just to wrap up, if you have to rank the following three in order of importance or interest, the Trump-Russia connection, the Susan Rice unmasking and the Carter Page attempted recruitment. If you had to rank those 1, 2, 3, how would they fall in your mind?
The way you rank them, number one, Trump Russia, number two, Susan Rice, and third, Carter Page. And I think that, fortunately, the House Intelligence Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee, which are both investigating these, have all of those on their radar. So let's hope we get some facts on all of those by the time this investigation wraps up.
It's more exercise of the First Amendment of free speech and the pleading the Fifth for protecting, whatever the case may be. The article, again, is What Exactly is Scandalous About Trump's Russia Scandal, dated April 4th, nationalreview.com. He is, along with being a columnist for National Review, one of their Thomas L. Rhodes Fellows from the National Review Institute. Ian Tuttle, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.